Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9. This is the reading of God's Word. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. This is the contribution which you are to raise from them, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skin, dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lightning, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture. Just so you shall construct it. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. Left alone, we have no ability to truly hear your voice through your word and understand it and believe it and obey it. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will work in us, illumine our hearts so that we may know and we may believe and we may obey your word. And Father, let us be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us imitate him in all things. Let us live our lives in terms of bringing glory and honor to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We come to the last part of the book of Exodus. Broadly speaking, the book of Exodus is about three things. First, it was about coming out of Egypt. Then, after that, we saw how the Israelites, they received the laws from God. And the last section, starting from chapter 29, is about building the tabernacle. See, from chapter 25 all the way to chapter 31, we see God giving the detailed instructions on how they are to make the tabernacle. And from chapters 35 on, we see the actual building of the tabernacle by the Israelites, exactly according to the instructions that are given by God. And by end of chapter 39, we see the completion of the tabernacle. As we have said, from chapters 25 through 31 are the instructions of God on how to build a tabernacle. However, in the midst of these instructions, in chapters 28 and 29, we have God's detailed instruction on the office of the priest and God's instruction on how to make priestly garments. Thus, we are able to see the close relationship between the tabernacle and the priestly office. Now, what is a tabernacle? We might call it a mobile temple, moving temple. A temple on the move, if you will. The more permanent temple will be erected when the Israelites settle in the promised land. But on their journey towards that promised land, God will be with them in this tabernacle they are to build. To state the conclusion, of the last part of the book of Exodus, both the tabernacle and the temple point to the true eternal heavenly temple of God, Jesus Christ, and His people who are in Jesus Christ and heaven. John chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple." He was talking about himself. But the Jews who were hearing that, they were looking at the temple that Herod was building. They have built this temple for 46 years. And you say you're going to destroy, if we destroy this temple, you're going to raise it up in 3 days? Well, Jesus here tells us that the true temple is Him. Jesus Christ is the true temple. And He dies and He resurrects in 3 days. So then, the church, you and I, we are His body. So we are the temple. And heaven is the true temple. So the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple point to Jesus Christ and the church and heaven. So as we study all these instructions to how to build this tabernacle, it is actually instruction on how to build a church. Even though all the materials are earthly, and just like everything else in the Old Testament, it's always earthly. It's always temporary. It's always physical. So we need to keep that in mind. The word tabernacle is related to the word that we see in chapter 24, verse 16. It says, "The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai." That word rested is related word to this word tabernacle. So what is tabernacle? Well, God is resting over His people. God's glory is pitched over His people like a tent. So the tabernacle, we'll see how Moses is to build this. It's about big tent that you cover. And 3 times they have to cover this. So the picture is then God's glory is pitched over His people like a tent. God is dwelling. He's resting with His people. Thus, it points to the reality of eternal heaven. When we will resurrect, our body will be glorified. And when you see my body, it's as if God's glory is pitched over me. His glory is covered His people. That's the picture. That is the tabernacle. Revelation 21, verse 3, the new heaven and the new earth is described this way. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them." See, Jesus Christ fulfills the Old Testament tabernacle. John chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Literally, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That's what it says. So this tabernacle is about God dwelling with His people. As He dwells with His people, His glory covers His people. And that's the picture. And that is what heaven is all about. God is with His people living, and His glory covers everyone. But in the Old Testament, we see the earthly copy of how heaven really looks like. The tabernacle and all the furniture of the tabernacle and all the ministries in the tabernacle, they all point to Jesus Christ and His redemptive works that He does and all the heavenly realities that He accomplishes. So we're not just learning the physical earthly tabernacle of the Old Testament. From that, we learn what is our true tabernacle. Jesus Christ and His redemptive works and the heavenly realities that He accomplishes. The tabernacle, it points to Jesus Christ. That's the first thing you need to remember as we will go through every instruction that we see in this Exodus. Seems like someone's cold. Well, tabernacle points to Jesus Christ. What is tabernacle? It is a place in which God meets with His people. Thus, Jesus is the true tabernacle because Jesus Himself is God meeting man. Because He is 100% God and 100% man. In Jesus, God and man meets. They meet. He is 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And only in Jesus Christ and only through Jesus Christ, God meets with His people. So He is the true temple. Well, the tabernacle, moving temple, is a place where God reveals Himself. And it is only in Jesus Christ God reveals Himself completely and perfectly. Tabernacle is a place where God dwells with His people. And only in Jesus Christ and only through and by Jesus Christ, God dwells with His people. Tabernacle is where God speaks to His people. And God speaks to men in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. When He speaks, God speaks. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says, in these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. And tabernacle, it is where God receives the sinners. And only in Jesus Christ, God receives the sinners. Tabernacle, it is a where God's people's sin is forgiven. And only in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Tabernacle, it is where God receives the gift of His people. And only in Jesus Christ, anything from us is received by God. And that as the perfect gifts. So obviously it points to Jesus Christ. So as we learn the tabernacle, we're going to learn about Christ. But the tabernacle also points to us, you and me, who are in Christ. Because we are the temple of God in Jesus Christ. Not only Jesus is God-man, we are man-God who lives in us, God. So when you look at me, you see God meeting man. God is with man. That's what I am. That's who I am. Just like Jesus was God meeting man, we are man meeting God. That's why we are the temple of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The temple and the tabernacle of the Old Testament point to the people of God in Jesus Christ. And how is that reality shown today? Well, it is shown through the church. Thus, the tabernacle and the temple are also point to the church. They are pictures of the church. So when we see how the tabernacle is built, then we know how churches should be built. The principle is the same. And all the ministries of the temple and the tabernacle point to the life of the church. Whatever they did in that tabernacle and temple, that's exactly what God's people will do in the church. Of course, in the Old Testament, it's a typological, so they were sacrificing animals and all that. But we don't do that, but that principle still applies to us. The temple, then, is a picture of heaven. And Hebrews chapter 8, we will see it later in other sermons, that's what it says. The Old Testament tabernacle was a copy of heaven. And if we cannot wait until next sermon, Hebrews chapter 8. Okay, go and read. The temple and the tabernacle witness what is the ultimate purpose of our salvation. What is that? What is the ultimate purpose of our salvation? It is God is with his people. That's the ultimate purpose. God is with his people in sweet communion. God dwells with his people forever. God and his people are having the sweet fellowship forever and ever. And that's why Revelation 21, it ends, you know, Revelation verse 1 and 3, then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. It is just amazing. What is man that God desired to have fellowship with him and live with him forever and ever? You know, how many people in this world that you don't want to live with? So many. Why would God want to live with us forever? See, that's why his love for us is, it's just, there's no word to describe it. It's just amazing love. That he actually wants to have fellowship with you. Even though he knows how sinful we are. God will be with us perfectly and completely forever and ever. And Jesus Christ accomplishes this reality for us. He is Emmanuel God. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. So, Emmanuel God. God with us God. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with a child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Jesus is the perfect picture of God with man. He is the meeting of God and man, like we said, when he was here on earth and now in heaven forever, he is God with man, God and man. In Jesus Christ, we see the certainty of God with man. If you ever wonder, can God be with men? You look at Jesus Christ. There's your answer. He is God with men. He is God and men. And in the tabernacle and the temple, we see the same reality, but in a typological way. We saw a similar thing in chapter 19 and 24 when God was meeting with his people at the Mount Sinai. The tabernacle is the continuation of that meeting with God and men. The temple is the continuation, and Jesus Christ is the fulfillment, and forever God is with men. So, we saw a miniature, or I should say the bigger picture, because mountain is pretty big. But we see the picture of temple as God meets with his people. So the foot of the mountain, that's the courts, the yard. And there's where people stand in the temple, just like they stay at the foot of the mountain. Halfway up in the mountain points to holy holies, right? That's when the representative went up to the middle of the mountain and ate with God, like we saw last week. That's the holies, where the priests, they serve God there. But only one person goes into the Holy of Holies. Just like only one person, Moses, went up to the top of the mountain to meet God. So we see then tabernacle is a continuation of what we saw at the Mount Sinai. The whole purpose was so that God will meet men. God is our house and we are his house. God dwells in us and we dwell in him now and forever. That is the ultimate fulfillment of our salvation. So we go to chapter 25, Exodus, and now people are saying I'm hot. Or I don't know, maybe you're not saying that, but that's what I perceive. Chapter 25, verse 1 and 2, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. God commands the Israelites to build the tabernacle, and God commands them to bring the gifts, the contributions, and with them they are to build the temple or tabernacle. And verse 3 to 7 says, this is the contribution which you are to raise from them, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, gold hair, ram skin dyed red, purple skins, acacia wood, oil for lightning, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. And verse 8 says, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. That's the purpose. This is really amazing verse, because God could build that tabernacle like that. I mean, he doesn't need anyone. He doesn't need anything. And yet, what do we see here? That God invites, God uses his people in his work. He's the one who builds his temple, his tabernacle, and yet God invites his people, he uses his people in his work. Because who is actually building this tabernacle? Well, it is God. Go to Exodus 31. Exodus chapter 31. Let me read from verse 1. Follow along here. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have anointed with him Oholiab, a son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill, that they may make all that I have commanded you. God says that he sent his Holy Spirit, and it is Holy Spirit who enables them to make the temple or tabernacle just the way that God has commanded them. See, without the Holy Spirit's work in them, they will not able to exactly make it like what they saw, what God has shown them. So you see, it is the Holy Spirit who is working. He is the one who is building this tabernacle. And yet, the amazing thing is that God will, you know, call his people to participate in his work. He uses the people. This principle is the same. How do we build a church? And when we say church, please, it's not a building. Nowhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, a church is referred to as a building. Not even one place. Only in the Old Testament, a temple and tabernacle, that's the building. Church is you, people of God. You are the church. So it is where we meet, that's the church. That's why we could meet anywhere, here or out there. That's where the church is, because you are there, because you are the church. So, you know, don't fall for this. You know, some people think that, oh, I need to give a lot of money so we could build a church. Yes, we need money to build a church. We need to do ministry. But do not think of that in terms of building the building. We don't need the building, actually, but, you know, it's convenience. If we are to meet in the park, you know, out in the open, it's going to be a little hard to listen to sermon and all that. So, okay. We need building in that sense. But building is not absolutely necessary for church to be church. Anyway, it is the Holy Spirit who is building the tabernacle. It is God himself. But God invites his people to participate in him making the tabernacle. The same principle applies to the church and the contribution. These are what the Israelites brought out from Egypt when they have plundered the Egyptians. Do you remember that? Even though they just went and asked and they were given. Bible uses the word plunder as if Israelites, they have victory over war over Egypt and they plunder. See? And they brought these things out from Egypt, and that's the gift, that's the contribution that they are to give so that they make tabernacle with it. Raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him. God loves a cheerful giver. It is never forced. And church must do the same. We should never force anybody to give. You are not to give on, you know, compulsion. You go home, sit down, with clear head, decide how much you're going to give, and give cheerfully. Never forced, never reluctantly. Because actually, God does not need your money. period. But it is our honor to participate in the work of God who is building His church. God doesn't need anybody or anything. But isn't it our honor if my thing is used to build His church? That I am used by God to build His church? That is our honor. That's why we happily do this. As we study the building of the tabernacle, we'll learn about Jesus Christ and His ministry, and we'll also learn about the church and its ministry. After the tabernacle is completed, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the glory of God fills the tabernacle. But after Jesus Christ completes His ministry, after He finishes the true temple, the Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2, as the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit fills God's glory to His church. As Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, we see in Acts 2, the church is also conceived by the Holy Spirit. It starts out, the birth of the church is Holy Spirit coming. Just like Jesus, the true temple, Holy Spirit comes. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 3, verse 27, but no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless we first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. We saw how Pharaoh was bound and the Israelites plundered his property. Jesus Christ, by His death and the resurrection, binds the Satan and plunders Satan's property, which are His people, you and I. In Exodus, the Israelites build the tabernacle with the plundered property of Egypt. Jesus Christ builds His true church with the plundered property from Satan, His people, you and I. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built, being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, you also as a living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, you and I are the contribution for the true temple. With you, His people, the living stones, God builds His true eternal dwelling place, His temple. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. This is a command to build the true temple of God. It is God's command to you and to me, to His church. And we are not talking about physical building. We are talking about the people of God. So what am I doing even as I preach and teach? What am I doing? I'm participating in the building of the true temple, the church. As you work and make money and you bring offerings and you pray for the ministry of this church, what are you doing? You are participating in the building of the true temple, the church. You must understand that you must know your life in terms of your true calling. As soon as they come out of Egypt, as soon as they come out of sin, as soon as they're saved, their call is to build the tabernacle. God's people, you and I, we are saved out of sin, and our call is to build the true temple. And you must understand your work in terms of that. You must understand your raising of your kids in terms of building the true temple. You must understand you marrying someone, having family, in terms of building the true temple. You must understand you're studying, you're going to school, you're getting job, in terms of building the true temple. This is what our lives are all about, if we're Christian. You must understand it biblically. Otherwise, man, you just don't know what's going on. Yes, God, even now, builds His temple. Do you realize that your life and my life are about building the true temple of God? You have come to that true temple to worship our God even now. This is our life. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit build the temple of God, and they invite you, His church, to participate in this glorious work of God. And it is our honor to live our lives for this glorious purpose of God. As we saw last time, meeting with God for His people in the Old Testament was from a distance. And in the temple and the tabernacle, meeting God was from the outside of the curtain. But that curtain is now torn. As the body of Jesus Christ was torn on the cross, the curtain that blocked the way to the Holy of Holies is torn from top to bottom. With His perfect sacrifice and with His blood sprinkled and with His righteousness, we are able to enter the Holy of Holies, the true Holy of Holies in heaven, God's presence. And that is where we are right now, even as we worship our God. Jesus gave Himself to build the true temple of God. And we are called to do the same. God says, let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. To dwell with His people. Your job, my job, is to build His temple. Meaning we witness the gospel to everybody out there and bring them into this temple so that God could dwell with them. That is the calling of the church. So I pray that God will bless us richly as we study the building of the tabernacle, because it shows our life, what we must do in our life. It shows us the purpose why we live. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you hear His command to build the true temple of God? And let us look to Jesus Christ, as He is the one who is building His temple, His church. And let us participate in this glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ together. It will be our honor to do this work. And, you know, just because I'm a pastor, you know, I preach and I teach and I handle, you know, the Word of God. Don't think that I'm the only one who is participating in this glorious work of building the temple. If everybody becomes a pastor, then church is in trouble. Someone has to go out and work, bring contributions, not just material contribution, that's also needed, but yourself. You need to give yourself to God. And you are to pray. Pray for the ministry of this church. And that is very, very essential part of this work of building the temple. Without you praying, it's going to be a waste of time altogether. Because God works through prayer. So, don't think that preaching His word is more important than you praying for the ministry of this church. Equally important. But you must pray according to His will. So, actively participate, brothers and sisters. Pray, make money, bring offerings, have fellowship, talk, share the gospel together, go out and share the gospel. All this is about building the temple of God. And that is the work of the church. That is your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for calling us to participate in this glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even now, He builds His temple. And it is our honor to participate in that glorious work. Oh Father, let us always understand and know that everything that we do is about building the temple of God. Let us see all things in terms of that, so that we may know the true meaning of our life. Oh Father, just like the Israelites who were saved out of Egypt and out of slavery, their job now is to build the tabernacle. And it is the same with us. We have been saved out of this world and sin, and our job now is to build the temple of our God. Eternal temple, heavenly temple of our God. Let us joyfully participate and bring glory and honor to you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.